T-minus 54. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. As the morning sun shone down on Birchwood, Dan and Tara sat outside with Piper while Emma was busy briefing Clark over the phone for his big day in Buenos Aires. Dan had woken up to a text from Billy Kendrick, thanking him for intervening and setting in motion the events that ultimately led to Billy's release. Billy's text mentioned two more things that Dan was glad to hear. First, that he expected to soon have visual proof of what he'd discovered at Dorte Lutepe, an insurance policy if anyone tried to suppress the find, and secondly, that he would soon be on his way to New York to take his unannounced place on the following evening's Focus 2020 panel alongside Timo Fiori. Both pieces of news were very welcome, particularly the latter given that this development really stacked the high-stakes Focus 2020 panel against Jan Geller and her sensationalist garbage. Even just seeing Billy's name had eased Dan's mind momentarily. With no further updates having come in on New Kerguelen's shelter since the initial revelation of its apparent lack of utility on Wednesday, potentially fruitful surface exploration felt like a more distant hope than it truly was. In reality, the secondary analysis was due any time, likely as soon as some of the human crew could concoct a new reason to come home without spooking the messengers before a plan for how to break it to them was agreed upon. The alternative was that they'd return when the shelter repair mission itself was concluded, which was also expected to be an imminent development. Once Dan got a chance to really sit down and talk to the messengers again, specifically Leisha and his partner Sacco, the race's designated interpreters, he dearly hoped that the new contexts provided by both Dorte Lutepe's carvings and the curious case of the unnecessary shelter could deliver the answers he craved. Most of all, he hoped to quickly find out where the messenger's non-hereditary uplift powers had come from, and thus how Piper's somehow hereditary powers could be taken away to give her the chance of a normal life. In most contexts, Dan felt that normality, especially when used to mean something more like conformity, was an overrated and perhaps even undesirable trait in human children. But in this specific instance, when normal meant not being feared, despised, and likely taken away, Dan longed for his child to be normal more than he had ever longed for anything else in the world. He remembered how he'd felt in the only moment when he had been forced to publicly use the telekinetic powers the messengers granted him as a side effect of his temporary telepathic uplift, and how the looks of fear most onlookers had fired at him were joined by looks of sheer disgust from others. That was no life for anyone, least of all his own daughter. Dan didn't feel comfortable thinking that Piper needed to be fixed, but for her own sake, there really was no way around it. It was almost like a mutation when he thought about it, a genetic uplift enabled by a cruel trick of conceptive timing. Cured, he thought. That was a better word. And it did stand up to logic. After all, Piper's predicament could fairly be thought of as a condition, and in every regard it was a ticking time bomb that couldn't be kept under wraps for long. Soon it would be too late.
Oos, Piper said as she bounced on Tara's knee. That's not Rooster, that's Mr. Squirrel, Tara giggled, rubbing her nose against Piper's to make her laugh too.
Piper's outstretched hands, inside her mittens, given that the garden hadn't yet been re-baby-proofed since her abilities became apparent, opened and closed in the direction of the squirrel.
I think she's trying to touch it, Tara said. Is this what it was like last time, when you mentioned the same thing?
Dan looked down at Piper's hands, which were now still. Babies always try to touch stuff they can't reach, he said. Those mittens are only on because we don't know what she's capable of in terms of the strength of it, but there's no reason to think she has any idea what she's doing. Tara shrugged.
Yeah, I mean 7.5 months, right? No baby can be that smart.
As Tara carried Piper around the garden to smell some flowers and watch some bugs, Dan looked up at the sky. The answer was out there, like every other. It had to be. He simply couldn't afford to think any other way. Clark was doing all he could to keep the public on their side. Emma was stepping into the limelight she'd shunned for so long to keep people from Jan's darkness. Billy had dug up archaeological dynamite at Dorte Lutepe, and Dan McCarthy hoped beyond hope that it was all leading to an imminent moment
when he could once again step forward and meaningfully work with the messengers. Through all that had happened in recent years, Dan retained, somehow, a broadly optimistic outlook on life. Everything seemed to be coming to a head, with the next 2 or 3 days seeming absolutely pivotal. And while he didn't expect to be able to make Piper better in that short time frame, he certainly hoped that it would see a door present itself so he could knock it down and begin his unrelenting charge along the path towards a cure. Dan glanced over at Piper and Tara, who he was glad to see smiling, then looked up at the sky again. Hold on to hope, he told himself. Through the leak and the hoax and the comet and the squadron, hope has gotten us this far.